Hey guys, welcome to the C. Coley podcast. I'm your co-host Zari, and I'm here with Britt. And today we're talking about dating. So we're starting off this episode just a little bit differently. We've already recorded this episode with a wonderful guest. Her name is Caitlin. Britt, can you introduce Caitlin to us, being that this is your play cousin?
Yeah, so my play cousin, Caitlin. So we call each other cousin because, one, her aunt is a mentor of mine and has been really investing in my life and helping me navigate so many different transitions here in Dallas. And she has welcomed me into her family. And so I see her niece as my cousin. And so we get to connect a lot. And we've talked a lot about dating and the struggles we've had and, you know, some of the crazy stories we've had. And so I thought she would be a great guest to have on the podcast, really, to talk about this subject. And so I'm excited for you guys to listen and be able to hear what we share. Now, do keep in mind, we are not giving you tools for you to go and use in your personal life. These are just things that we are navigating. And I don't know if there's a right way. I know there's a wrong way, but I don't know if there is a specific way that is like the perfect way in order to find your kingdom spouse. But we talk about navigating those waters, whether that's doing online dating or you're waiting for him to drop out of the sky. Like, we just talk about what that looks like for us and how do we honor God in that process. And so I'm really excited for people to listen in and to hear what we are discussing. And I hope that you laugh with us. I hope that you are able to, you know, get some wisdom from the conversation that we've had. But honestly, this is just a fun girl chat, y'all. So take it just like that. But Zari, how are you doing, girl? Are you ready for this podcast episode?
I am getting myself ready. I think like we filmed this like last week, guys, and I'm like, so much has already changed in my dating life. So you'll hear in this episode, I share like I'm on the dating apps and all the different things. And I've actually like stepped off the dating apps. And but that partially has to do with the fact that we have said that we're going to take these next few months, as this is our second to last episode in this season, to really seek out the Holy Spirit, where he's guiding us. And so I'm not saying that online dating can't be a part of that, but I think there's some things I really want to take to God. And I want to create space to not be distracted as I'm going into the new year, thinking about what next year is supposed to look like, as well as just where I feel like God is calling me next. And that's not to say like I'm done with dating, but I'm going to take a step back and make sure that I'm kind of eliminating some distractions in this time. So that's like, I feel very peaceful about that decision. You know, sometimes you just feel peaceful when you come off the apps, ladies. You know what I'm talking about. You're like, whoo, I can breathe. So I'm excited for you guys to hear where I was last week. And I feel like there's a lot of joy in this conversation. And one thing I love about having Caitlin on is that she shares a lot about her past relationships. And so it's just, she's so authentic. And I think you're going to be really blessed, even though it's just a girl's chat. She shares so much wisdom. So I'm so happy for our listeners to get a chance to hear that. But Britt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. We had a couple days of cool weather here in Texas to make us think that we were about to experience some fall. But today we're back up to the 90s. So it was a false start. It was a false start for our fall here in Texas. But my mom's in town. We went to the state fair. I was so surprised she even wanted to go. And so I am so glad that we did. And we had a good time. And so I am excited to have her listen in on this dating podcast. I think she will laugh as well, just hearing some of our chatter and banter. But I'm so excited for what God is doing in all of our lives. And I feel like I'm more hope-filled than I was, you know, 3 months ago about our future and what God could possibly do in, you know, our future relationships and even looking to marriage. So I'm excited.
Well, without further ado, we hope you enjoy episode 11 of the C. Coley podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me, y'all. I feel so blessed to be here with you guys. Just a quick introduction. I'm going to keep it brief. Obviously, my name is Caitlin. You can call me Kate. I'm 35 years old. I'm originally born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I've been here in Dallas for about 3 years now. And I work as a flight attendant. I work as a makeup artist and, just going on this new journey of self-discovery.
Love it. Yeah. And so we're here today. I brought her in for us to specifically talk about this topic. And I know my girlies are out there like, can't wait for us to talk about this. But we're talking about dating today.
Woo, woo. Woo, woo.
And so Caitlin and I have had so many conversations about the dating struggles out here in these streets. And so has Zaria and I.
Yeah.
And so we've been talking about it really all day. So it's been really fun to be able to hear where we are. And so, I'm just excited for us to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, maybe a great place to start is for us to share maybe the last relationship we were in and where we're at now. So I'll kick us off.
Okay.
So my last relationship ended about a year ago. Great guy. I have nothing negative to say about him. Wonderful person. Just wasn't the right fit.
Yeah.
And I've been dating. I've been getting on the dating apps, which is very like taboo as a Christian. I think a lot of times we're like, if I'm on the dating apps, like, am I rushing the season that God has for me? Like, is this really of the Lord? Did I put myself somewhere that like I wasn't supposed to be yet? Mm-hmm. But also like we also hear these successful stories and like, you know, maybe those are like one in a billion, but like maybe I can be the one in a billion
right.
who finds that person on the app. Who knows? But I will say as I'm dating people, I'm learning more about myself. I'm learning things that I didn't even know were deal breakers. I'm like, do you get my humor? Do you think I'm funny? So I don't like how you talk. I'm like, you know, some of the things feel petty, but like you're allowed to have standards. You're allowed to have things you're attracted to, things you're not attracted to. And I think a huge thing for me in dating was feeling like I had to give everyone a chance and feeling like, you know, like I don't want to be superficial, but it's like, if those are things that are going to continuously be on my mind, like we're allowed to have preferences. And I believe like keep those in balance. Like you're not going to get everything on your wish list, but I feel like God gave us things that we're attracted to. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm like learning to accept and like trust my discernment, because for so long, like I allowed people to talk me into like staying into things longer or talk myself into staying in things longer. Cause I'm like, this person fits my checkbox. Like this is supposed to work. Mm-hmm. So I am learning how to say no and be confident in that. And allowing myself to, like, I told a friend recently, I was like, he was like, Zaria, like, what if you never meet someone who gives you all those feelings? Are you going to still wait to marriage? Are you still, I'm like, we'll be still waiting to marriage. You know, if that's God's desire for me to be single longer, I'm not going to just go marry someone just to say that I got married. Amen. I want it to be in God's timing. So even on these dating apps, even if someone's super fine, all that, like if it's not aligning, I'm doing my best to try to be like clear and move on as quickly as possible with kindness. Right. So we're dating. That was a really long way to say I'm single. And I'm dating. Okay.
I will say for me, I have been single for about 3 to 4 years now. I'm actually divorced. And so that caused a lot of deconstruction and a lot of rebuilding and learning a lot of things, right? So for me, all of my 20s was spent either in a relationship or in a marriage. And so, you know, pre-social media, you know, people would just actually approach people and say, hi, I'm interested in you. I would like to get to know you. And now being a divorcee at 35, it's a lot different from what I was used to as a teen or 20-odd-year-old woman. So now I also am on the apps. I do like to spend time out mingling as well. But the apps can be a strange place. And I think for me, it's a little complicated only because, you know, out in person, you might meet a person and you might, there's a potential for a connection. But I feel like with the apps, you have to use like a lot of discernment. You have to really pay attention. You have to have like strong communication skills. But I also am single and I'm mingling just a tad.
just a little bit, not too much.
I love that. So I am also single. I am not on the dating apps. I did try But
for a week.
But really, you have to know thyself. Okay. That's in the King James Version. Know thyself. Because for me, I know that I am a sucker for a nice guy. Like, you know, he doesn't even have to be a believer. He treats me right. He's nice. He's respectful. He buy me food. I mean, I'm easy to please. It's so sad. They do. And so I realized that it was just an opportunity for the enemy to really get at my weakness. And so I was like, you know what? I don't need to be on these apps. And so at this point, I'm just waiting for God to just deliver him to my doorstep, right? So like Amazon Prime him, FedEx, UPS, like however, you know, just right at my doorstep. But in all honesty, I can say that, you know, I am trusting God to bring the right relationship at the right time, whether that's at work or at church or what have you. I'm like, okay, Lord, like use whatever you want to do in order to build those relationships.
Yeah. That's so good. I think something you said just kind of reminded me, like one time I was talking to my brother-in-law and I was just telling him all these nice things that this guy was doing for me at one point. He's like, why are you impressed by the bare minimum?
Ooh.
Like this is what someone should be doing. And I'm not trying to get like, you know, like one of those podcasts where it's like all alpha males and they're like telling all these things of what women should be doing. Like, I don't want this to be that kind of thing. But I do think because I think we as Christian women often operate with like a scarcity mindset when it comes to dating. And it's like, we get this list. We're like, oh, they love the Lord. Oh, they're waiting till marriage. I have to make this work.
Right.
Or like anything like, oh, someone's treating me nice. They're giving me attention. Like, I can't cut this off because it's so close. And I feel like that's the way like the enemy gets us. He gives us something that's so close to the actual promise, knows our insecurities. He knows the things that like, I mean, ooh, I was a sucker for a 6'3" man, even if he wasn't saved. Okay. Like that would get me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I feel like that is the challenge of like not getting caught up in that scarcity mindset. And like, yeah, it's hard to come by a attractive man of God who like meets those qualities and all that, but like it is much worse, which I'm sure Caitlin can even speak to, much worse to marry someone knowing the whole time that you were just like doing that because you were scared of like, what if it doesn't happen for me?
Yes. And okay, so let me piggyback off that. Okay, so one, I'm gonna start by saying that I absolutely, without question, that is one of the reasons why I ended up getting married. Mm. But the scarcity mindset also is the reason why I am also divorced. So I feel like you have to have full faith in God's capabilities and what he can do when it comes to not just your career with like your life, but also with relationships and marriage, because, you know, we know how good God is. We know that he is a God who is an awesome wonder. He can do all these incredible things. But when it comes to him blessing us with companions, I think that a lot of times women, us Christian women, we do get into those scarcity places, but I don't think we fully trust God to say, God, you know me inside and out. You created me. You know my desires. You know what I need, Lord. And so, yeah, I might be scared to let this 6'2", well, for me, it's a tall, dark, and handsome. I might be scared to let this tall, dark, and handsome man go, but God, you know the desires of my heart, and I know that you are the God of abundance. You created us and everything in it, and you want us to have the best. And so if I let it go, you're going to multiply it times 10 when it comes back. So that's absolutely something I feel like I've been like working through, is to know that, okay, they might have like 6 things out of 10, but I can get 8.
Amen.
You know, because you're not going to have everything. I do agree with that. I think sometimes we think we can have it all, but I just don't think that's like a realistic expectation when it comes to forever, marriage, covenant. Like, he going to get on your nerves, you know? But, you know, I think it's reasonable for you to find him attractive, like him a little bit, for him to have some things that you feel like are fundamentally important for you to like be thriving, happy marriage and relationship.
Like, God, you gave me these preferences, these desires. I might not get everything on my list, but like, there's a reason why I'm attracted to certain things. And like, even trusting that God created us to be able to, you know, like, like, I don't think he's like, oh my gosh, Zari or Caitlin or Brittany, I want you to be with someone you're totally unattracted to. Here you go. Like what? I'm like, yes. But Kaylee, I want to ask you a question I asked you actually earlier. Like, because I think something that's really challenging for me dating is like feeling this pressure to like know. Like, I think so much, like when I was getting really into my faith, was about like, well, you should want your husband to just see you and just know you're his wife. And like, I thought I wanted that. And I've had men who have told me, like, God told me you're my wife. And I'm like, okay. And like, I tried to give it a shot when I was younger. And then I'm like, God hasn't told me that, and, you know, like, and like, I'm trying to force myself to see it and I don't see it. But I think what I'm seeing now in dating too, it's like, you want to know, or I want to know so quickly if someone is the person. Like, I'm like, shouldn't I feel like right away if this is the person or whatnot, or before I get married? So like, how did you feel going into your first marriage? Did you have that feeling of feeling like this is the person? Like, this is the person I want to be with. Did you have peace? What would you say about that first round?
Who cares? Okay, so I will say the person that I ended up getting married to, I definitely was very physically attracted to him. I was, like, emotionally drawn to him. Like, all the things that you want, the butterflies, the good feelings, all those things were there, right? Now, I hadn't taken into account that although I was feeling some types of ways for him and the ways that I was feeling for him, that they may not have been the person that God wanted me to be with. Now, at the time, those butterflies, the emotions, the feelings, all those things were running rampant. So even though those red, orange, pink, purple flags was flying, I could not see anything. I was blinded by all the things that really doesn't make a strong marriage, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, just blinded. So although God had shown me multiple times, multiple ways, through people, places, sermons, circumstances, that this was not my person, I still was like, doesn't matter. This is what I want. I want to be with this person. We're going to get married. Mm-hmm. And when you don't center God, and when you just go off the physical things, right, how this person makes you feel and how they look, those are not long-lasting elements of like a marriage or a relationship. So now I feel like, you know, when girls talk about the butterfly effect or whatever, I feel like I don't want butterflies. I feel like butterflies are like my nervous system telling me to run. Like,
wow.
I don't want feelings. I want it to be real. I do want to have like confirmation for sure. Like, I do want it to feel like God appointed this person to me, even if it's just temporarily. Like, I want to make sure that that person's supposed to be in my life, but I don't want the artificial fairy tale Cinderella things that we have been fed since childhood, because it's not real. And I want something of purpose, you know? So yeah, don't get me wrong. I want to like the way you look. And, you know, I want to be, you know, excited to be around you, but I also don't want to pretend. So even pretending is necessarily not with that person, but just pretending where I'm lying to myself. Like, if I know the Lord show me purple, green, red, whatever flags, I need to be real with myself and say, okay, like, despite how I feel, this person is just not supposed to be here, like, in this present moment. So I had to learn a lot because I did not listen to the Holy Spirit. Like, the signs were there. We were having so many issues and we were fighting and became physical. And there were a lot of people that were trying to warn me, but I was like, you can't tell me what I need to do, you know? And so I did what I wanted to do. And I had to learn a very, very, very hard lesson. And so now with dating, I'm just like, you know, you could be a little medium, you know? You know, I don't need all them butterflies. I just need to be sure that I like you a little bit and that I can see that we got some potential to get somewhere at some point, but it has to make sense. It has to be aligned with what God wants for me. That's more important than little jitters in my stomach.
That's good. I think also for me, what's been a game changer in dating is being content in my singleness and enjoying my singleness. Mm-hmm. Because I know the church talks a lot about contentment. And yes, it really does come from God. But if you're enjoying your singleness, if you're having fun, if you're taking advantage of the opportunity that you have to not, you know, be tied to another person or, you know, whatever, I mean, you won't settle for something that's going to make your life worse. Right. And so I think that, you know, if you have a high standard for yourself, like, you know, at that time, you probably didn't have the spiritual wisdom and maturity that you have now. Yeah. So now you're like, okay, I'm not going to just let any Jack or Daniel come in my life and not rise to the occasion, because I invested in my own growth. I invested in my own life, and there's a level of peace and joy that I'm living in. And so I'm going to make sure that whoever I allow in my life is going to match it or going to come alongside me to increase it in my life. You know? And so I think it's great to be able to learn from our mistakes in dating, because, you know, I will be the first to admit that I've made some mistakes in dating.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to learn, and you learn about yourself, because I think some of my earlier relationships, I went in thinking I was stronger than I thought. I was like, oh, I'm not going to settle for that. Oh, yeah. I would never do this. I would never do that.
Yes.
Straight up lies. Straight up lies.
That's the truth. But that's the truth.
It is the truth. I have a backup question for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things that I think is hard for me, but I'm asking you because you just said it. So we're going to say to you.
Okay.
But one of the things that has been hard for me is I actually do enjoy being single. Like, I enjoy personal time, especially after being married. Like, when you get married, like, if you are a good spouse, your marriage is centered around you serving and pleasing God and whatever your other person needs are. Mm-hmm. Right? So that takes a lot of time away from you, and you pour into other people and how to build, like, this family, right? So now that I'm outside of that, like, getting to spend, listen, money on my nails, I can get my hair done when I want to, I can wake up at 3 o'clock and go to the grocery store, I ain't gotta ask if it's okay. Like, I enjoy just being, right? So wanting to share my world with another person can be complicated, because it's just like, it's okay for me to just be. Mm-hmm. So how do you think you got to a point to where you were in a space of contentment where you were still willing to say, hey, I'm willing to share my world with somebody? Like, how did that look for you?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think, so for me, marriage is about purpose. So I'm not just looking for companionship. I mean, we're hanging out together. This is great. You know, my girls are my ride or die. I have good relationships in my life. And so marriage to me is not just about having a level of intimacy in that regard. It really is about purpose. And so I feel like I am starting to get to a point in my life where I feel drawn to come alongside someone to fulfill a purpose. Does that make sense? So I want to live a life beyond myself, right? Like, I have invested a lot in who I want to become. And, you know, I joke with Zari all the time. I'm like, girl, you are that girl. And I have to say to myself, like, girl, you are that girl. And so I want to be with that guy who can help grow what God is doing in and through my life. And I want to expand God's kingdom in that way, which seems like a hyper spiritual thing. I do want the companionship and the intimacy. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But I think I'm starting to open my eyes and open my heart to the idea of allowing someone to come alongside me. So it's not from a place of, like, desperation of, like, oh, now I want to be with someone so that I can have a family. It's more so like, I'm open if God wants to bring the right person in my life to do it, which for a long time, I was just focused on my goals and objectives and what I wanted to do, what I wanted to become. But now I want to be open to what God is doing a new way. So yeah, I want to be open to whatever God wants to bring into my life. And so I want to come with open hands for that person that will help me to be all that God has called me to be. And of course, to have a family, to have companionship, to have intimacy and all of that. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I do joke with myself sometimes, like, girl, you really enjoy being in this bed by yourself. You really want to. Right, right. Girl, you come home, you only have to think about feeding yourself. You really want to, you know, you ready to sacrifice this? You ready to, you know, not be able to just do what you want to do when you want to do it? And even my mom, she'll make little comments like, you know, you can't do that in marriage. I'm like, sis, are you trying to encourage or discourage me? pick a side, okay?
Yeah.
Right. So I totally hear what you're saying. And I know that it will be a shift, but I'm praying that when that shift needs to happen, that God will strengthen me for it.
And if it's the right person, I won't watch it. And you know what? That's it right there. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, man.
Just like you were saying previously, you were saying like how if I'm in a state of peace and just pure solitude, like somebody has to come in and match that. So anything that disrupts it, you're going to be like, I'm cool. Yeah.
It's the accent of the fingers for me. They kiss.
Well, I do think if they come in with some balance, I think you'll be able to adjust well.
Thank you. You'll coach me through it too.
Yo.
We'll get some wise women in our lives to do it for sure.
But also, I mean, I know we all hate when like people, pastors say like, and not everyone's called to marriage, not all like, you know, and like, you know, we're sitting in those seats like, that's cute, pastor, but I for one better be on that list that's called to marriage, you know. Thinking about like too, like, have you ever thought about like God could come back right in this moment?
Yes.
I mean, you know, there was rumors that he was coming back soon anyway.
Right.
And he's not going to be like, oh my gosh, Zari, you're still a virgin. Let me go back up to heaven and just let you figure that out for a second. And, you know, he's gonna be like, it's time. It's time.
Right.
Okay. Like, we're not promised marriage. And yeah, so much of what I think we feel, a lot of people feel entitled to that. Yeah. Once you start, I know I did, like once I started following the Lord, I felt like my reward is a godly spouse.
Mm-hmm.
But like the reality too is not everyone is called to marriage. Like Paul tells us that if you can be single, it's better for you to actually be single and to like serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Like you actually have more time, more space to serve the Lord when you're single. And so now, do I want to be single? Is that a call that I want God to give me my whole life? No, it's not. It's not what I want. But like, that's okay. So I like how you're asking, like, how did you get out of that contentment? Like sometimes like contentment can be a gift. Like I've heard stories of this woman who is like, I don't even need to be married. I don't know, she's still there, but she was in India for a very long time, just opening orphanages. Is that a word? I said it right. Mm-hmm. I said it right.
Hey.
Okay, she was opening orphanages and like sharing the gospel, and she had like an incredible testimony after testimony after testimony. And she was never limited by what you said of like someone saying, oh, like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to move. I don't want to, like, there are things that become limitations. And that's why it's so important who you marry. We kind of like grazed over like, oh, a nice guy doesn't believe in the Lord, but like the importance of that, because Britt, you even shared like marriage is about purpose. It's not just about companionship. We can have great companionship here in this space, but it's about purpose at the end of the day. And so like marriage is a reflection of God's love for us as his church, as his bride. And so a lot of times we think, oh, like I can fix him, or like if we're not like fully on the same page, like I would even argue that being equally yoked isn't even just about like, yeah, he says he's a Christian. Like,
oh, 100%.
Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Can you lead? Like, do you really know him? Like, why are we debating what's actually
in the word?
In the word and clear. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not up for it's. I think a lot of times we as believers pick and choose what we like. Not realizing, and we talked about this, like being a believer is sacrificial. Being in relationship is sacrificial. And it's like, that's hard to do and hard to explain. And that becomes an extra barrier when you're dating someone who's not on the same page. Like if God tells you, Britt, to go move to a whole different country and no job, or no, let's tell your real life example. You moved to Texas with no job lined up.
Correct.
Had you been married, a person who's not following the Lord would have been looking at you like, you don't have a job.
Correct.
So we're just going to pick up and move.
Because you feel called?
You feel some sky daddy told you to go somewhere. Whereas a godly spouse, someone who submitted to, even if they weren't on board at first, would take it to the Lord.
Amen.
Pray about it.
Yeah.
And then come back and be able to say, God has spoken to me about this.
Yeah.
I don't, even if I don't know how it's going to work, babe, we're going to follow the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the difference. Like, oh, I've dated people who are quote unquote Christian, and like they were not down for me doing the ministry stuff. They're like, oh, I'm so glad you finally decided you want to go to law school, because
what?
That's what I was like. That other stuff wasn't, you know, like those are the things you're going to hear when you're not. So even if there's someone who's Christian, like, are they submitted to the Lord? Like, how much do they hold control over their life and their plans? How much do we hold control over our life and our plans? Like, are they willing to submit to God in all ways? And I think, you know, when I first started dating, a big thing for me was like, okay, I'm waiting till marriage. Okay, maybe I'll date people who are just willing to wait to marriage, because like for me, and then I start shifting to, I want them to be willing to wait for themselves. Mm-hmm. And like, and then it became not even about the sex. It really became about, do you believe God at his word of what he said is good for you? What's bad for you? Are you submitted?
Amen.
It wasn't about you being out here having sex anymore. So like, it's about the submission to Christ. Right. And I'm like, that is what I'm looking for. So yes, you know, sex is a way to see that. But I'm like, what is your mindset about it? Do you trust that the guidance God is giving you is for your good? And that's like a really good indicator. And it's it makes it so hard in dating. It can make it very challenging and it can be discouraging. You're like, oh, when am I going to find a Christian man who is on board with this?
Right.
They do exist.
They do. They're out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they love that you talked about fruit, because I encountered a situation with someone that was that when I was doing online dating for a week. And, you know, he put his strength, that his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wasn't walking in purity. He didn't know his word. And so we as women, we have to really interrogate that fruit. Like, we can't just hear words. We have to see lifestyle. And if you don't see that lifestyle, then you have to pivot. And it's so hard. I think we often will get our emotions so tied up in the beginning that we will start to compromise, because we're like, well, you know, he doesn't mind that I go to church. He doesn't mind that I'm doing X, Y, Z. He said that he will support me. But y'all, I hate to say it, but there are men, there are wolves in sheep clothing in the church. And they are looking for a woman that they can manipulate. It's the work of the enemy, tempting Eve, tempting us once again to settle for less, to say, you know, that's not what God really said. You know, like, that is what God really said.
Yeah.
And so, daughters of Eve, like, we have to be on our guard, and we have to be rooted in the word, and we have to refuse to compromise for less than God's best, even when it looks impossible. My biggest thing that I've been saying to myself is like, Britt, like, it is, God is able. God is able. When? I don't know, but God is able. And so, don't let up. Even when it becomes discouraging, I bring it to the Lord.
Yeah.
I say, Lord, I don't know if I can do it another day. Lord, I'm freaking out. Lord, I'm hot. Like, help me, Jesus, right? And I give it to him, and I let him like heal my heart in that those moments. And I even talk to my girlfriends about it. I'm like, girls, pray for me. I'm having a rough week. I'm having a rough day. I'm really wanting somebody. And it has strengthened me in my walk. And so, and even when I'm encountering these guys out here that, you know, don't really want to live for the Lord, but want to date me, my girls would be like, uh-uh.
And by my girls, she means Zari.
Zari.
And others. But Zari be like, we don't even, why do we need a FaceTime to dismiss this person? No, it's good. Brittany's nicer than me.
I'm a graceful dater.
Nicer than me. Yes.
Okay, so I feel like I should ask you, ladies, because we've been talking about things that we're not willing to settle for.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So just a few items off the top of your mind. What are some things that you feel like are on your non-negotiable list and some Ooh. Things that you have on your
wish
list. Your wish list.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what's the difference.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of women, we have things that we would like in a guy, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that's going to make him, like, a great husband. Like, how we were saying, preferences, right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of women prefer men that are taller. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you are, you know, if you here, it's okay. It doesn't mean you're not going to be a good husband.
I think it means you're not. No, I'm just kidding.
But for some people, that may be a non-negotiable. Like, they may be like, you know what, you might be a nice guy, but I just, you know. So non-negotiables and wish lists.
Why don't you start us off?
Okay, well, I'll go. Okay, so I'll start with my non-negotiables. So non-negotiables, obviously, you got to be a believer and you got to be a follower of the Lord. That's just that's a non-negotiable. So if you say you don't know who that man is, if you was on the street, you wouldn't know who that man is. Gotta go. So that, definitely a person that's a smoker. Definitely a person who has more than two children with more than one baby mama. Gotta go. Non-negotiable. Definitely a person who is not a very strong communicator. Like, if you have a hard time being, like, emotionally expressive or, like, sharing or just communicating thoroughly, I'm not very interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Wish list, I would say I tend to be attracted to men who are very smart and intellectually, like, social, mm-hmm. and, like, how, like, conversations about things that maybe I'm not, like, well versed in.
Mm-hmm.
I like men that can cook. I like mm-hmm. men who work with their hands, that are good with, like, building things. Like, can you build me a house? Can you build me a dresser? Can you fix my car? Like, obviously I don't need that, but it's on my wish list, right?
Mm-hmm.
A person who is, like, well-traveled and, like, very close with his, like, family and friends. Those are things that I would, like, really, really like mm-hmm. for a person. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So those are just a few for me.
Okay. Non-negotiables, obviously, believer. This is hard. It's just challenging because I'm like, I think it's becoming a non-negotiable that you're waiting by your own choice, which it wasn't always a non-negotiable for me. I would also say, like, you have to get my humor. So important. And even if you're a believer, like what we were saying before, like, are you submitted to God? Can you walk in, like, faith? Like, are you scared of, like, I'm, like, such an open person. I think I've already seen, like, I'm willing to just pick up. God tells me to go move to Texas tomorrow. Please, I told Britt, God, I said, if this company offers me a job here, I guess I'm moving. Because I would feel like the Lord, you know, like, I'm ready to pick up and go. So are you willing to also, like, pick up and go? Like, are you, like, free spirited in the Lord in that way? Someone who's like, but still, I was like, this feels like the Indian matchmaking where it's like, but also stable. Because, you know, I just said I was someone I mentioned. Their list would be so, like, they would always contradict. And I'm like, I'm not trying to contradict. But I'm like, I think someone who's, like, in their provider energy. And that's not just financial. Like, growing up, I saw my dad take care of the cars. And, like, you know, like, there was just things, like, certain bills that he would handle. Or, like, I don't know, like, I remember coming home from college and he would just go take my car and get the oil changed and wash it for me. Like, those are things I'm like, wow, like, what a man. Like, my dad takes out the trash. Like, he doesn't make my mom, like, there's just things like that. It's like care. Or, like, if I land in Texas, text me, make sure, like, see if I'm okay. If I'm driving late at night or if I'm driving doing a road trip, I love when someone calls me. Like, so I think it's like that intentional care of, like, I just want to know how you're doing, being present. So I feel like those are, like, big non-negotiables. And, like, good with your family. Like, I want my family. I'm trying to break people pleasing is a big thing, but, like, my family is so important to me. And, like, I mean, this is not a non-negotiable, but spades is really important to me as well.
Oh,
can you play spades? I mean, I could teach you. All right. I will teach you, but you can't be in your feelings too much, but I will teach you. Okay. I am very competitive. That's a wish list. It's wish list. It's not a deal breaker. So wish list. I mean, y'all already heard me talk about. I'm a tall girly, so, you know, tall man is nice. I think really and truly, like, it really boils down to, am I attracted to you? Because I've had everyone, I've had people meet almost everything on the list, but at the end of the day, it's just, I just didn't see it.
That's a big one.
So that's what, let me just drive that back to the non-negotiables. Like, we gotta be able to feel it, you know, like, see it. Like, I want to marry you. Every day. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not even necessarily about looks. It's just like, is my nervous system like at peace around you? Like, you know, I want it to feel right. Like mm-hmm. this is what the Lord, because I think there's just a lot of fear, and maybe you can even relate to that, of marrying the wrong person, because it's a lifelong commitment. Like, you're gonna be the father of my kids. And like, that's something I've started to see too. Like, when I'm dating, I'm like, if something were to happen to me, because I'm like, if I don't care enough for myself, I care enough for my kids. If something were to happen to me, how would like my kids be raised by you? And that is a question that has been like helping me as I'm sifting through dating. Cause I'm like, ooh, this person curses a lot. They don't really go to church for real. Like, and there's no judgment. Like, be where you are, if that's where God has you or that's where you have yourself. Like, but I just can't be leaving that up. I have a choice to give my kids a better chance and a better shot at some things. And I'm like, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to set them back. I'm going to set them up correctly. So
that's good.
Britt.
Man, I feel like my non-negotiable list is pretty small. Like, believes God. Like, you talked about someone that doesn't just know the Bible and know the word, but is listening to his voice and seeking him out about decisions and plans that he has. Like, that is very important to me, because that's how I live. And so I want to come alongside someone that is living that way. And then a strong communicator. Like, you got to be able to, you got to be pursuing me. Okay.
Yes.
Like, calling me.
Leader.
Just like you said, right? A leader. Got to be calling. You have to be reaching out. You have to want to connect with me. And someone that is committed. Like, I want to see commitment in your life. I want to see it. And, like, I don't want the first commitment you make to be to me. That's scary.
That's scary. Good. That's good, Britt.
I want to see commitment in your life. And you have a good relationship with your family. And listen, family is complicated. So I'm not saying every relationship is like top tier perfect, but you have to be striving to have a good relationship with your family. Because I'm an only child. So I would really, this is now wish list, I would love to marry someone that has siblings so that my kids can have real aunts and uncles. I'm not saying my girl, your aunties.
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
Y'all could be the aunties, but would love for them to have siblings. I would love for him to be tall, would love for him to have money in his pocket. Because while I'm easy to please, I do love to eat out. And I do love to go places. It does make it a lot easier. Or striving. Amen. Or striving. Listen, striving. And I'm not saying if he's poor, I don't want to be with him. But, you know, if you are working towards a goal, God will provide. Okay. And then, you know, kind-hearted, empathetic, makes me laugh. I love to laugh. And so being with someone that is willing to make me smile, blush. Yeah. I feel like that's my list.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Another non-negotiable, fellas, if y'all watching this, no hoop earrings, no dangly earrings, no crosses, no
that's
nothing.
That's more of a wish list.
If you want to borrow some of my earrings, sir, gotta go.
Can't be cuter.
You can't be cuter than me. What do you mean?
Yeah, getting
masculine
ready.
Masculine is very
yes. Yes, I like masculine men. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with smelling good, looking good, those kind of things, but if you're trying to borrow a scarf or some earrings, we got a problem. And I'm saying that because some of the modern men, you know, it's different. You know, they paint their nails, they wear earrings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little different, you know?
Okay.
So, just have to put that out there as a disclaimer. They do.
Yeah. So if you're out there, Mr. Wright, and you hear this, you know, reach out, connect.
They're probably like, y'all want too much.
But listen, No.
I don't think anything that we said requires too much.
No, and I feel like the things that I'm asking of someone, I am bringing to the table. Like,
period,
yeah. Period, right? Like, do. I am bringing a relationship with the Lord. I am bringing a commitment. I have a track record of commitment. I have a track record of loyalty. I have a track record of seeking the Lord about every decision that I make. I have a track record of caring for my family and investing in my relationships. I have a track record of taking care of a home and managing different situations. And like, I am bringing these things to the table. And so why, like, you get the good end of the stick? No way, Jose. Let both of us benefit from this relationship, right? You're going to get a lot. I want to get a lot too. Don't be selfish.
Okay. So speaking into us saying that the things that we require, fundamentally speaking, are really not that hard. So what do we think the gap is to where what we're looking for and what we require and desire is really not too tough, but we're still single?
I mean, the reality is all of us could be in a relationship.
Yeah.
That's true. So it's not a lack of men that want to marry us.
Right. Because you know how sometimes I feel like I've had conversations with people about this too, where people feel like, oh, she's a good person, he's a good person, oh, they'll be... No, I don't think it's that simple. Like, I don't think, like, if two people are innately just compatible as to personality or, like, their careers or them being believers, it doesn't necessarily mean that I can go on the street right now and find a Christian and say, let's get married. I don't think it's that simple. I still think that there are levels of compatibility that... you still need to, like, sustain a relationship. But it just seems, though, I don't know if it's just because of the abundant amount and plethora of amounts of women, but it just seems like the things that, at least the women that I know, that they require, we're not talking about modern age women, city girl sort of conversations, but, like, good, decent, wholesome women, or just women who just, you know, just want what most people want. Mm-hmm. It's not like... super heavy. They don't need you to have a Rolls Royce or like a 7-figure income. They mm-hmm. just want you to be a fine, decent human being.
Yeah, I just think all the good men are in hiding. They're sitting in their homes, also waiting for a godly woman.
You think they hide it?
I have to believe that they are hiding.
I mean, we know they out there.
They're
out there somewhere.
Yeah, I think they're waiting for us to show up at their doorstep or something. I don't know.
He that finds it is wife. Find it.
Yeah, I just think that they're hiding. Or maybe they're on mission, you know,
God's
whatever.
Shaping them still.
Yes, in development. I have to believe that they're out there. They just haven't come through. And the enemy wants to bring all the wrong ones to see how many he can put in front of me before I settle. I'm like, keep trying.
Don't do it. Devil. Don't do it, Celia. Don't do it. No. So she said Color Purple. Don't do it, Celia.
Yeah, I mean, I think it boils down to what one of my deal breakers were, like, just a matter of feeling like I want it to be with the options that were presented to me. Hmm. And I think also, like, I think back to, like, relationships I want it to happen. And I'm like, if that relationship had happened, I wouldn't have moved to North Carolina, mm-hmm. wouldn't have gone to div school, wouldn't have met Britt, wouldn't have done a lot of the podcast, probably wouldn't, like, it wouldn't have been a thing in the way it currently is. Like, I think there's a lot of things that maybe God wanted me to experience.
Divine timing.
Yeah. Like, so to what Brittany said, mission, purpose, like, sometimes that mission and purpose is going to be found in taking more time for singleness. And I thought I was going to be married at 23 when I was in college. I'm like, that's going to be my life. I'm coming out with the MRS. Okay. We're going to have all the things, the degree, the MRS, all that. And so, yeah. But I think purpose, like, I just think that was, obviously that wasn't what God had in that time. And yeah, I have a question for you though. As someone who has been through divorce, which is like, that's like a big separation. Mm-hmm. How do you heal from a breakup? And what did that look like for you? And like, maybe what wisdom would you share with someone who is going through maybe divorce or a breakup, getting back into the dating world?
Let me tell you something. I always tell people I have overcome a whole lot in my life. I experienced abuse, neglect, everything that children, young people should not experience. But when I tell you that divorce was the worst thing that I ever went through. And so for me, I feel like it was hard. It was terrible. It feels like literally just a death, separation, of a person that is still living, separation of family. Because obviously when you get married, you know, you join your families together. And so that's different once you get a divorce. So the people that I clung to that were from his family, obviously it changed and it's not the same and the relationships aren't necessarily there and the same on my side. So for a person who is like very family oriented and I have like a ton of siblings and going through a divorce, it was very, very complicated because, you know, like my nieces and nephews are like, what happened to, you know, Uncle so-and-so? And your mom can't call him the way she used to. And same thing on the opposite ends. So it is literally the hardest thing that I ever went through. However, I am so grateful that God is just a healer because for me, initially, like the first year, I would say that I was like a mess. Like I literally I just shared this story about how I went through a phase where I like hated men. I didn't want to be friends with them. I didn't want to be around them. I didn't want them to breathe the same air I was breathing. I didn't like them. I just didn't think they were good people. I thought they were bad creatures. And so I'm going to try to make this story short. I went door dashing one day just to, my mind was always racing. So I was always doing things to not think about it. So I was door dashing. I went to put gas in my car and it was an older dude. I feel like I told Brittany this story. It was an older dude at the pump across from me. And he was like in this Mercedes Benz and he had like a Eli Lilly shirt on. And I was pumping my gas and he looked at me. He said, "You need help pumping gas?" He's like, "You need some help?" And I said, "Do it look like I need some help?" So he came back out. You know, I'm pumping my little $20 gas. And he came back out and he said, he looked at me in the eye and he said, "Who hurt you?" And that was the first time that I realized that I was like carrying the world on my shoulders and that I was like really bitter and just showing up the world, like just super fragile and just like unhappy. So I remember I went home to my apartment and that was the first time in my adult life that I had lived alone. And I went home to my apartment and I laid on the living room floor and I was looking at the ceiling and I said, "Lord, show me a good man." And when I tell you that God is a comedian, because right after that, I think I moved to Dallas, maybe 3 months after, and constantly, persistently, I kept meeting men along the way that really healed parts of me that I didn't even know were really broken, right? And so, like, growing up in, like, inner city environments where there are a lot of single women, or there's not that many father figures in homes, you hear a lot about the narrative of women saying that men are dogs. I don't need a man. So subconsciously in my subconscious mind, like even though I was divorced, my single mind was reverting back to familiar narratives that I had heard over and over again, right? Yeah. So I felt like the Lord started to, like, as I was saying earlier, like I felt like I deconstructed a lot of the thoughts and patterns that women around me were having to where I realized that God is, he is a restorer. He can do anything. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm hurt right now today. But God's intentions were not to break me when he separated me in that divorce. His intentions were to build me back up so that I could have new life. And so all the toxic situations that I was going through and the emotional turmoil and the cheating and all the things that I went through, it wasn't meant to keep me in a stagnancy, in a spirit of stagnancy to where I thought that his creatures, his men, were not good. And so he just started to show me church, social scenes, work, just the compassion that a lot of men have, which is why I will always stand 10 toes down that good men exist because I know that they do. It's just a duality of God's creation. If God created the entire universe, and we know that good women exist, we see them every day, that same God was capable of creating men that also are his sons that are good as well. And so I think that I just had to go on a journey where I started limiting my intake when it came to like music, movies, social media, things that kind of persuaded me to think that, you know, the city girl stuff, I can't subscribe. I just didn't want to do it. And I just started to like be around marriages, people in relationships, spaces to where I saw just like a renewed view when it came to love. And I would say it's still like a daily journey, you know, But God is the God of all. He can do anything. So yeah. I will say I'm still in a space of continuous healing. For sure, every day.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, Caitlin. I know that God has brought you so far, and he's continuing to bless you and favor you. And I've just seen just how, I mean, yeah, God's just been good to you, girl. And I'm so grateful for your story and your testimony. And I do hope it encourages, even though, you know, we haven't found our man's yet.
Yeah.
Zari wants to emphasize the yet. Even though we made it to the finish line in that regard, I hope that people who are listening, whether they are dating, whether they want to date, whether they're dating outside of a divorce or after a divorce, that they feel encouraged listening to this podcast, knowing that they're not alone and that God can still rebuild, restore, and give us hope and have an expectancy that he will bring the right man of God in the right time. And if there's a man of God that's listening to this, know that there are women of God who are being faithful, who are looking for godly men, and seek God about who that woman is, because we want you also to find godly women in your life that can help carry out the purpose and plan that he has for you. So, Caitlin, can you do us a favor and pray us out?
Yes, I would love to.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for your covering. I thank you for your graciousness, Lord. I just thank you for you being the God of all. Thank you for just being here with us in this moment, Lord. And we thank you for all the viewers that are here with us as well, Father God. As we go out into the world, please, Lord, allow your light to continuously shine bright so that people may find you, so that people may know you, Father God. For all the women that are under the sound of my voice, Father, allow us to continuously to walk in purpose of your divine assignment for our lives, Father. Mm-hmm. Allow us to focus in on what it is that you would have us do. Allow us to focus in on the fact that we are living so that we can satisfy you, so mm-hmm. that we can bring souls to your kingdom, Father God, so that they may know you. Lord, just allow us to continuously to be encouraged through life, through career, through family, and through dating. As complicated as it may be, we know that, God, you are the master and controller of all, Father God. And in divine timing, with the patience that we are asking you for, we just know that you are going to be here in this moment to guide us through what it is that we need to see when it comes to men, when it comes to relationships. And so, God, we trust you wholeheartedly that in divine timing, although we may not always understand it, that whatever is in your plans, Father, that they will come into fruition, Father God. And right now, I do believe that these two beautiful women, Miss Zari and Miss Brittany, that they are and will be wives, Father God. And so in this moment, I am praying that they will prepare for being a wife and what that means, Lord. We know that it comes with a lot of responsibility. We know that it is a position that we do not take lightly, Father God. So position us right now. Allow us to continuously seek you in everything that we do. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And as we walk out into the world today and any other day after, we just ask that you continuously guide us through what it is that you are calling us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Bye.